And my message this morning is a simple message. Hopefully, will empower every one of us in this building today to be all in for Jesus. That's the title of my message this morning. Is being all in for Jesus, and what does that take to be all in for Jesus? At youth camp, that was our focus of youth camp, is challenging the students and the adult leaders there to be all in for Jesus, to not hold anything back. And so we were challenged with that all week. And later on, we'll see a video of our experiences at youth camp. But our students were challenged to be all in. When we go back home, when we go to our schools, when we go back to our jobs, Jesus requires us to be all in for Him, not hold anything back. And so this morning, I want to share that message with you and how we can be all in for Jesus. There was a pastor who routinely woke up every morning to drink a cup of coffee and enjoy the sunrise. And one particular Sunday morning, he woke up and began to drink his coffee and go on the back porch, watch the sunrise. And it was a cool, crisp morning. And he thought to himself, boy, it would be nice to be playing golf today. So he got on the phone and called up his associate pastor, and he said, I'm not feeling real good today. Can you handle the service for me? And the associate pastor said, sure, I'll take care of it. No problem. You just rest, and I'll take care of that. And so he loaded his things up, threw his golf clubs into his vehicle, and he knew that he had to drive a long ways away, so he drove an hour or so away because he didn't want anybody to see him. So he drove a good ways away, got set up on the first tee, and getting ready to hit his ball, and Jesus said to his father, he said, are you going to let him get away with this? And his father said, I got this. Don't worry about it. So he sets up on his tee and he gets ready, and he hits the ball. And it's a par 4, 400 yards, and he hits the best drive of his life. And it's flying through the air, and it takes two bounces, bounced up on the green, rolls in the hole. And Jesus, perplexed, leans over to his father and says, Father, are you going to let him get away with this? And of course, God kind of smiles and says, who's he going to tell? All in. What does it take to be all in? Luke chapter 9, verse 21 through 25 reads this. Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. He said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed, and on the third day he will be raised to life. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my follower must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow after me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet lose or forfeit their very self? Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the privilege to stand before and to read your word and to share a message from you. God, I pray that your words will not fall on deaf ears, but it will convict our hearts and change our lives this morning, God. Help us to realize that you need all of us in this room collectively to be all in for you, so that we can accomplish your will and your purpose. You don't need us sitting on the sideline. You need us to get up off the bench and get in the game of life and begin to live for you. Help us to do that. Challenge us today, God. In your Son's precious name I pray. Amen. So what does it take to be all in? What does it take to be all in for Jesus? The first thing it does is it takes no reserve. It takes no reserve. There's notes in your bulletin, by the way. It's on a blue piece of paper if you want to take notes so that you can have a record and you can go back to this message whenever you'd like. No reserve. The first thing it takes to be all in for Jesus is no reserve. In 1904, a man named William Borden, heir to the Borden Dairy Estate, graduated from a Chicago high school. He was already a millionaire when he graduated. For his graduation present, his parents gave him a trip around the world. He traveled through Asia, through the Middle East, and through Europe. What was intended to be a pleasure trip turned out to be a life-changing experience for William. You see, William became burdened for the hurting and lost people of the world. In a letter he wrote home, he says, "I'm going to give my life to prepare for the mission field." He took his Bible and he wrote on the inside flyleaf of his Bible these two words, "No reserves." William Borden was a young man who had a passion to make an impact for Jesus. Borden was not satisfied with a second-rate, half-hearted Christian existence. He wanted to make his one and only life count for something. He wanted to make this one life that he had to live count for Jesus. No reserve means that we hold nothing back. We give everything to Jesus. Everything we have, we give to him. We don't hold anything back from him. We're no longer selfish, as Luke writes. He says, "You turn from your selfish ways." We give everything to Jesus. You know, that's hard for us to do as Christians. It's hard for us to do as people. Because we're pretty selfish, aren't we? I'm pretty selfish. I promise. When I'm sitting there watching TV at home and Caleb comes running in the room and he wants Mickey Mouse Clubhouse on and I'm watching SportsCenter. Okay. I'll let you watch it, son. I'm pretty selfish. I want to watch my shows. My wife will tell you the remote is my remote and I want it. You know, we live in a selfish society where we got fast food on every corner. We want it now. We want it our way, right away. You know, we're selfish. That's the hardest thing for us to give up as Christians is our selfish desires, what we want. Our dreams, our goals. But we have to give those up. We are no longer selfish. We no longer desire the things for ourselves, but we desire things of God. We don't desire those things that we want. We desire the things that God wants. If we're going to be all in, we have to give up our selfish desires. You see, a life of no reserve does not act one way with this set of friends and another way with this set of friends. A life of no reserve does not act one way at church and another way outside the walls of the church. We act the same. You see, that has plagued us as a church because when people see us acting just like the world, and we call ourselves Christians, but yet we act just like the world, what do they see? That's what a Christian's supposed to be? They're asking themselves. A life of no reserve does not fondle secret sins when no one else is watching. A life of no reserve is not about pursuing a career to set you up financially. I don't know about you, Brother Mike, but when God called me to the ministry, I didn't do it for the money because there is none. You know, a life of no reserve is not about being financially set. It's not. It's about selling out to God's calling. And when we do that, it sets us up for an eternal impact. You see, a life that's all in, no reserve, does not use the phrase, "We've never done it that way before." Rather, we use the phrase, "Let's do it God's way. Let's do it His way. Let's get on board with what He wants." You see, it's time for us to get rid of, with no reserve, get rid of everything that hinders us. For some of us, it's our material possessions. Oh, I can't give up my house or my car or my money. Some of us, we have to give up our personal pursuits. I'm going to give up my athletics or my amusements, my education or my vocation. God wants us to be all in. He wants us to no reserve, give up everything for Him. I had a friend in high school, actually a friend from church, but when we were in high school, his name's Ryan, he plays the piano and he plays beautifully. I mean, he can read music and he can play by ear and he plays amazing. When he was in high school, he was working in a wood shop with a friend of ours who was a cabinet maker. And he got his hand cut in a saw, and it cut those four fingers off right there, the four right there. I don't know about you, but to play the piano, you have to have fingers, right? Yeah, we do. You have to have fingers. I went to see him in the hospital. They had sewed all his fingers back on, but the doctors told him he'd never play the piano ever again. I went to see him in the hospital and began to talk to him, and he began to share with me what God was doing in his life. And he told me, he said, you know, for a long time, I've been thinking that this talent I have is me. It's all me. You know, this is, I'm better than anybody else. You know, I can do anything with the piano. I'm just so good at it. And he said, I realize now God took that away. He took that away to teach me that if you're not all in for me, that if you don't give up everything for me, then I can't use you. He said, I realize that. And so I have decided to follow Jesus in whatever He wants me to do. I may not ever play the piano again, but I will follow Jesus in everything. I have decided to give Him every part of my life. I'm no longer going to be selfish with the things that I have. I'm going to give all of that to Him. Well, over time, his feeling began to come back in his fingers, and he began to be able to move them. He went on to get an undergrad, get a master's degree, and a doctorate degree in piano pedagogy. He plays the piano even better now than he did before. That's how good God is. When we're willing to give up everything for Him, when we're willing to say, there's no reserve, I'm not holding anything back, I'm giving everything to You, God. That's what we have to do. Give up everything for Him. No reserve. Jim Elliot, the martyred missionary, said once, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. You see, we need to cast off, give up, lay down, and get rid of ourselves, of all, get rid of everything that gets in the way of serving Him, that gets in the way of following Him. No reserves. Don't hold anything back. Give up everything for Jesus. You can't be all in until you give up everything and are willing to follow Him. Not only have you have no reserve, you have to have no retreat. You have to be willing to not retreat. You see, William Borden, he gave up much with no reserve to serve Christ. After graduating from Yale University, he had many lucrative offers. But he kept his rudder true and his course straight. Right after the words no reserve in his Bible, he had written, no retreat. So when God called him to ministry in China, he never hesitated. His friends thought, you are absolutely crazy to waste your life overseas. You are a wealthy man, and you're going to waste it all going overseas. You've been to the finest schools. You've graduated from Yale and from Princeton when they were conservative universities. Long time ago. But see, young William understood that whatever God calls you to do, when He calls you to do something, it's never a waste of time. So he headed off to China with no retreat. He was not turning back. He said, I'm giving up everything, all that money I could have, all the wealth and the fame I could have, I'm giving it all up for You, God. I'm going to be all in for You. I'm not going to retreat. I'm not going to retreat. So no retreat. If you're going to be all in, you can't retreat. When Cortez landed in Veracruz to conquer Mexico in 1519, he purposely burned his 11 ships so his 700 men could not try to retreat. There was then only one way to go, and that was forward to conquer. For them, it was to be no reserve, no retreat, not holding anything back. We also see in the Navy, when a captain was heading into battle, where retreat and surrender was not an option. They would not contemplate retreat or surrender. He would order that the colors would be nailed to the mast. Having the flag nailed up high, there would be no possibility of lowering it in the heat of battle in order to raise a flag of surrender. You see, with retreat not an option, crew members, they were motivated. They fixed their eyes and fixed their minds on how best to win the battle. And my challenge to you this morning is to nail your spiritual colors to the mast. Don't give in. Don't give up. Don't retreat to secret sins. Don't retreat to a life of spiritual complacency. Don't retreat from reading God's word daily and spending quality time in prayer with God daily. Luke writes, take up your cross daily and follow Christ. No retreat. Daily follow Christ. Every morning when I wake up and I do my quiet time, I say, God, today I am going to follow you. We have to choose to do that every day. Every day. We have to say, God, I am not going to retreat. I'm not going back. And I'm giving you everything I have. Take up your cross daily and follow him. There's a song that we sing, a beautiful song. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. See, we make a choice. We make a choice to no retreat, no turning back. If we're going to be all in for Jesus, we got to keep our eyes focused on him and keep going forward, not looking back and not turning back. That's hard to do for us as Christians. That's hard because we have circumstances we go through. We have challenges in life. We have difficulties. It's hard for a Christian when they go through a divorce to press on and to keep following God. I submit to you that the Christian life is the hardest thing you will ever live, ever do. That's the hardest thing to do, is to live the Christian life. But it's the most rewarding thing you'll ever do. It is. It is. Because the world around us is pulling us in different directions. Satan his one desire is to tear the family apart. But God says, if you want to be all in for me, no reserves, no retreat. Keep following me. Don't go back. No retreats. And lastly, if you want to be all in for Jesus, there's no regrets. William Borden sailed for China to work among the Muslim people. On the way, he stopped in Egypt for some final preparations. There, he was stricken with meningitis, and within days, he died at the age of 25. All of his friends said, he died. What a fluke. What a waste. But those who saw in his Bible these two words, as he penned them on his deathbed, no regrets. You see, every one of us in here have done some things in the past we're not proud of. We've done some things we can't go back and restore and fix and make right. But today, right now, we can commit to living this one and only life we have God's way. Don't put it off until tomorrow. In one of William Borden's journals, these words were found. Say no to self and yes to Jesus every time. We must follow God with no regrets. None whatsoever. The disciples had no regrets for deciding to follow Jesus. When Jesus called his first disciples, he said, "Come and follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." He was asking those men to give up everything, to give up their livelihoods, to give up their families, to give up everything to follow him. They had no regrets for doing it. Jesus himself had no regrets for following God's will and plan. Even on the night he was praying in the garden, "Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Not my will, but yours be done, God. God, I am all in. I will follow your plan and your will and your purpose." Jesus himself had no regrets. He had no reserve. He held nothing back. He did not retreat, and he had no regrets. My question for you this morning is, are you going to be all in for Jesus? Are you going to be all in with no reserve, no retreat, no regrets? Ashley is going to come sing a song. I want you to watch this video and listen to these words. You see, Jesus lived all in for you. Will you live all in for him? Thank you. That's what Jesus did for you. Or are you going to be all in? No reserve, no regret, no retreat. Let's pray together. Some of you here, you're like some of the teenagers that were at camp that had never given their life to Christ. You've never said, God, I want to be all in for the first time. You never said, God, my life is yours. I want to make you Savior and Lord of my life. If that's you this morning, then there's no better time than right now to come to Christ. This morning, in a little bit, we're going to have an invitation, and that would be your time to come forward and to say, I want to give my life to Christ. I want to be all in for Him. There's also some in here that are like me. You're struggling with things in life. You're trying to hold on to some things. And God's saying, give that up. Give it up and follow me. Give it up and be all in. You may need to come and kneel and turn that over to God during the invitation time. Or sit in your seat and say, God, I'm sorry. I give that part of my life to you. I am all in for you, God. Some of you may need to come and join this church, to be a part of a great fellowship, and say, I want to serve God right here in First Baptist Floresville. I want to be all in for Jesus, working together with this body of believers. This would be your time to do that during this invitation. Father God, we thank you this morning. Thank you that your son Jesus made a choice to be all in for us. We didn't deserve it, but he chose to give up his life so that we could have life. And for that, we are truly grateful. God, I pray right now as your Holy Spirit is doing work in this place, that he would have freedom to work amongst us. God, help us to listen to your Spirit this morning. Help us to hear you calling us, drawing us to be all in for you. God, we know that you can't use us if we don't give everything to you. So God, help us to give all that up, all the stuff that we deal with, all this life things that we go through, all these difficulties that we struggle with in life. Help us to give all of that to you and to get up off the bench and begin to live for you with no reserve, no retreat, and no regrets. We love you, God. In your son's precious name I pray. Amen.